This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Ask parents how they're doing right now, and you're likely to get a spine-rattling sigh. If children are elementary age or younger, maybe even if they're not, parents right now are very worried about childcare. Michigan's childcare providers are at a critical stage. Many have been cleared to reopen with restrictions, but the business model is in crisis. With us today is one of Detroit's child care professionals, Nina Hodge, the owner of Above and Beyond Learning. Nina, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you for having me this afternoon.
We're also speaking with Kobe Levin, Chalkbeat Detroit reporter who's been covering child care. Kobe, nice to talk to you again.
Thanks for having me.
Nina, let's start out with just where things are from where you stand. I'm sure that a lot of things have changed since March when the pandemic began. Could you maybe start us out with what's the difference in the number of kids who you're caring for right now and the number of staff who you have involved in the business at the moment?
So I am licensed for 60 children. And right now, currently, we have approximately that come every day, about 23. And that's not on a daily basis. It might be 2 or 3 days they might miss out the week.
How close to capacity were you running before the pandemic began?
I was full capacity at 60 children with the waiting list.
Oh, so that's fewer than half of the kids who were with you before showing up right now.
That will be correct. Because a lot of the parents, too, they might be working part-time now. They're not even probably working full-time themselves. So the parents may keep them at home with them, or they may out here seeking for employment, too, at the same time.
Oh, my gosh.
So that caused my enrollment going up and down, fluctuation.
Have you had to lay people off?
So to be honest, not to lay off. I'm looking for employees. I need help for even the 23, 25 that we had. I hired a lot of high school students that came. So I was really grateful to have 4 high school students that showed up and worked very well with the children.
Would I be right in guessing that for folks who might have considered, you know, folks who'd worked as staff for you before, that they might be in a position where they look at their unemployment check and they look at what they'd receive for going back to work and they just sort of ask themselves if it's worth the risk?
So that's, yeah, 2 points to that, because they look at it and say, I'm getting more money staying home. And then the second one is that I have children at home, so I think I should stay at home with my children instead of going out taking care of other children. And one of my staff members lost her family member. She lost her husband and she lost her mother-in-law. So they were back to back, and she was my cook. And so my high school student came in and did my cooking, which was not on the stove, but just making great sandwiches and things.
That's a lot. That's just a lot to be dealing with right now. How long would you say your business can continue to operate with conditions being as they are?
So the payroll, that's the issue right there. So you have fluctuations. So if the kid is not here, I can't bill what the hourly wage that I receive payment from. Instead of knowing if the child comes 2 or 3 days, I should be able to bill weekly, like enrollment. So if I have a tuition person that pays me $200 a week, even if he missed a day, I got the enrollment fee. Versus if the state pays me by the hour, and so I'm losing out of money, which I have to have these staff here, and I don't want to send a staff person home because they don't want their checks fluctuate.
Kobe, how does Nina's situation compare with what you've heard from other providers that you've talked to?
So you can talk to just about as many providers as you want across the Detroit area and the state, and you're likely to hear one thing, which is the math doesn't work. Providers, for the most part, are private businesses. This is not like the K-12 system for the most part. They depend on the money that they bring in for students who show up just on a weekly basis. They don't have a steady income if students stop showing up. So with decreased enrollment during the pandemic, they just can't make ends meet. I talked to numerous childcare providers over the last couple of weeks who are saying that without further help, they're looking at closing their doors. And mind you, they're operating in parts of the state that already have a serious childcare shortage. So it's a really, really tough situation right now for providers and for parents, who rely on them.
I mean, I suppose this question could be to either of you. If it's happening in Detroit right now, can we assume this is also happening across the state?
Absolutely, across the state, because it's just the fluctuation and everything. And then the job market at the same time for the parents looking for jobs. And it takes a while, if I'm in this demographic here, for them to even get signed up with DHS, Department of Human Health Services. So if it's going to take 30 to 45 days just for them to get signed up. So they have the job, but they can't even get the child care because they got to wait for someone to get them signed up.
Right. Kobe, have you heard of any child care providers going under yet?
Yes, there are folks who've closed their doors, who've called it quits. There's a really large number of providers who just aren't open right now and who are asking themselves, you know, how much longer can I make it? You know, we've seen, across the state, a pretty substantial number of providers opening, but many are still closed and their overhead costs aren't going away. You know, if you've got a center, you'd be lucky if your landlord's willing to defer rent or if you're able to push back a mortgage payment. At this point, it's been months and those bills are piling up.
Yeah. Nina, what would you say about what it takes to survive in this moment right now? I'm guessing from what you've already told us that just finding a workforce that will show up and will be reliable is definitely part of the picture.
The thing is, I have to now reinvent myself. I have to reach out to corporate America, HR. I'm letting them know that I'm here in the community and if they need any child care service because they have employees and how can we partner together, that I will meet those hours for them. So the other market that I was trying to reach out to, the at-risk population over here, they're not even qualifying able to get on DHS if I can even get the payments. Be able to pay me. So I have to look towards corporate and see how we can partner together because, as Kobe mentioned, people have mortgages and they have rent to pay and it's just not going to add up. Some of the child care centers only have 5 children sitting there. You still got to cut your lights, your gas, same operation costs and serve the food and have the cook there to cook the food.
What are you hearing from the families who used to come to you about why they're not coming back?
So I have a little girl that has some illness. And so her mother, she had a scholarship. So she had to turn down a scholarship because she's afraid to bring her child in this environment, which I have the social distance signs. Parents are not coming in. We have virtual tours on our website. You have another lady that she just preferred her son to stay at home, you know, instead of interacting, social development and everything. So those are the fears that they have. They don't want to bring their children out in this environment.
Right. Kobe, is there anything that you're hearing about across the system? You know, are people maybe just having to rely on their families a bit more, or worse yet, maybe, you know, just, trying to get other siblings asking older kids to look after themselves as they can?
Yeah, so there's an element of that, you know, especially as kids have been out of school. We also need to remember that the unemployment rate has spiked to historic levels. Earlier in the year, it's still quite high. You've got more parents at home. You've got more parents working from home. So there's also the sort of practical fact that people are at home and, for reasons outside of their control, may be more able to care for their children.
Can I piggyback on Kobe? I just want to say,
please, yes.
And you have to be mindful that if the children in the city of Detroit, having them stay at home is very dangerous. Mm. You know, you got 10-year-olds watching the 7-year-olds or 3-year-olds or 2-year-olds. They need to be in an environment that's safe for them while their mothers or parents are out working. And they're doing virtual learning. And so I'm opening my doors and allowing them to come in to do virtual learning and partnering with 5 different schools in regards to that, because it's just not safe for the parents. And I want to provide for them the recess, the lunch, and safety, and help them while they do their virtual learning, because being at home, it's going to be a challenge to just sit at home and get this learning done for school year.
For sure. Nina, do you anticipate that any of these families will be coming back before there's some sort of vaccine available?
It's basically about the unemployment. So I am out here putting lawn signs out, meeting people, going to the food pantries, because I have to meet new clients now. I have to go talk to new families.
Right.
So if I see a family out or anything like that, giving out the flyers, doing direct mail, because maybe my old families are pretty much scared of this pandemic. So I'm meeting new family. I have new families here now.
If you're just joining us, my guests today are Nina Hodge. She's a child care provider at Above and Beyond Learning in Detroit. We're also talking with reporter Kobe Levin of Chalkbeat Detroit. Nina, I think a lot of people may not be aware of how the qualified child care providers in Michigan are reimbursed for their work. In a nutshell, under the system that we have right now, the state reimburses a fraction of the cost of child care. Anyone who's ever paid a babysitter on a Friday or Saturday night can tell you that the top rate that's available for infant care right now, $5.80 an hour for those who are in the system, is far below market rate, much less what you'd pay for somebody who, you know, who actually has a background in early child development, you know, and some grounding in this. First of all, how did you make this work before COVID even happened?
So before COVID began, it was like I have a pre-K program. So that's a state-ran program for GSRP. So they give me set amount of money throughout each month. So that's going, you know, with my budget. And then I have my child care in my other building. So that still worked out for the dollar amount for the staff that I had over there. So I knew the projection every month that what I was receiving.
Nina, you're part of a group that's called Providers for Change that's organizing to ask lawmakers in Lansing for some assistance. What kinds of things are you working on trying to tell lawmakers that you need to get through this?
So it's only two main things that we want to start off with. Just pay us the weekly rate. You know, that's other states that's getting paid that so we can help us towards our operation costs. And also they have this start rated thing right now. And I think we should eliminate that right now because, you know, you start rating, everybody should get equal pay.
Right. Kobe, could you read the tea leaves for a minute and maybe tell what you know of the situation in Lansing and maybe how likely it is that child care providers might get some relief?
Sure. So we need to think about not just Lansing, but Washington. I think if you talk to folks who are, you know, advocating for child care providers in the state, they'll say that all eyes are really on the federal government right now. There are talks going on in D.C. About the potential of another coronavirus relief package that could include some direct aid for child care providers like Ms. Hodge. In order for the state to fill the gap that we're seeing for child care providers, they would actually have to increase their funding. And what you have to realize is the state budget is in really rough shape. They're talking about cuts, not increases for any program. The lucky programs, folks are saying in Lansing, are the ones that won't get cut. But in order to really preserve childcare, they would have to substantially increase their level of support for childcare providers. I've spoken to some legislators who like that idea, who would like to throw a lifeline to childcare providers. Say, you know, in this budget cycle, it's a really heavy lift. So, you know, my crystal ball is broken. The pandemic broke it. But I would say that if childcare providers are looking for additional help, it may be wisest to look to either DC or to, you know, potentially private sources who have already begun to step in to help providers stay afloat and provide this service to families.
And I want to share with Kobe too, because I spoke to several different state representatives throughout the years, and they really don't have a clue about how we were getting paid, and they thought that was enough. Until we had to sit down and show them the figures. And they like, wow, this is what you guys getting paid. Yes. So it never became on someone's agenda to say, look, we need to go look at this again, because these are essential workers out here that's providing quality care to people that's going to and from work. And so I don't think it was any importance at the time to look into this. But now we're just seeing a map like this is not making any sense for the type of work and for our education that we provide for the families here.
Right. Kobe, is there much of a partisan split in how Republicans and Democrats might be predisposed to take some action on this?
So across the country, childcare has really been a remarkably bipartisan issue at a time of extreme partisan polarization generally. I think folks recognize that in every part of Michigan, you know, in every socioeconomic level, folks need childcare. Childcare is expensive for everyone because the way the system works now, basically, if you live in a wealthier neighborhood, you're paying a lot more for childcare. everyone pays what they can afford through the market system that they have now. And the result is that it's not affordable for anyone. While providers, especially those in low-income communities who are just getting the small state subsidies and whatever else their parents are able to add, are struggling to pay teachers. We need to say that providers often can't pay their teachers above poverty levels. So, you know, teachers in subsidized childcare programs might have children that qualify for those subsidies themselves.
Mm. I wanted to ask one last question to whoever wants to field it. What are the potential consequences of closures in Detroit and beyond? Nina, what are your thoughts on that?
I think now that the providers for change is coming together and sitting down talking to our state reps, I reached out to Republicans, Democrats. This is an issue across the state of Michigan. Because we are essential for everyone in order for them to go to work. So I think it's going to change. It's going to come about. But is it going to come overnight? Absolutely not. And so I just want us to get on board now for they can look at these figures, dollar amount, and try to. And I mentioned that to Kobe, too, that they paid us. They paid us when our doors were closed, even if the kids weren't here or not. So I don't know why it cannot continue to pay us until we get really out of this pandemic, until almost to the end of the year, you know, for the children that we have here. Because they paid us for every child that said that wasn't even in our building. And we got paid. So something's going to come together if we work together to get this resolved.
Kobe Levin, what are your thoughts about a future with fewer providers in Michigan?
So it's not sustainable. Folks in every part of the state, red or blue, rich or poor, people need childcare. If they're going to work, they need childcare. Employers recognize it. Educators recognize it. As one advocate told me, there is no economic recovery from the coronavirus pandemic without childcare, period. So this is something that we as a society have got to figure out. And so if a lot of childcare providers close, it's going to raise a big question for us. What do we do next? How can we make sure that parents have a place that's supportive and nurturing to send their children during the day.
Kobe Levin is a reporter with Chalkbeat Detroit. We've also been speaking with Nina Hodge, the owner of Above and Beyond Learning in Detroit. I want to thank you both so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.